Hey, I'm Josh Spiegel, host of the podcast Lunatic in the Newsroom. If you enjoy journalism that drifts into mild panic, wild overthinking, and a guaranteed nervous breakdown, Lunatic in the Newsroom is for you. It's news like you've never heard before. The only newsroom with a panic button. You'll laugh, you'll cry, and gasp in horror as the show spirals completely out of control. It's not just news, it's emotionally unstable. Lunatic in the Newsroom. Listen today.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Streamed and Screened, an entertainment podcast about movies and TV from Lee Enterprises. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee and co-host of the program with the incomparable Bruce Miller, a longtime entertainment reporter. Welcome back, Bruce. We have another show.
Yeah, you know what, though? I am getting my bedroom painted, and so I've had to be in the living room sleeping on the couch.
Oh, no.
And in the middle of the night, the TV set comes on.
Ooh.
Like, who has ever heard of that? And I don't know what it was, what caused it or whatever, but maybe I'm just living in another world.
Is it poltergeist?
It's Stranger Things. It's Stranger Things. And Then the thermostat lit up real bright after the TV. And I thought, are they talking to each other while I'm sleeping and I don't know this?
Wow.
So such is my life, which means I get a chance to see a lot of things, because if I'm just in one room, my cell, then I'm forced to watch the TV. And I did. Then last night, this gives you my wild life. I lost a debit card and my driver's license.
Oh, no.
I don't know where they are. And so I would turn the TV on to see what I could watch while I was looking all around the house 25 times. And finally, at 2 a.m., it showed up behind a chair. Now, I don't know how I got behind a chair that it would drop out, but it was there. So I got to see stuff that was on at 2 a.m. Not that good. So there you go. That's my life. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Don't think that it's anything good, because you'll just lose your driver's license and your debit card. And you need both.
Those are very crucial things in this time. Yeah.
You can't get to the bank to get a new debit card if you don't have a valid driver's license. And they probably wouldn't let you. We need some ID. What's your ID? This is like this voter thing that the Congress is talking about. So I thought I'd be screwed there. So then let's say I got the driver's license, and then somebody else is like charging things like crazy with my debit card because they wouldn't need it. You know, just shove it into a machine. So there, this is a sitcom. I think it's Nighttime with Bruce. It's worth all of that. But
this is, I mean, they made like Seinfeld episodes about this kind of stuff.
It's all about nothing. But yeah,
right.
So that's my life. But I did get to watch all of The Pit, and I cried the last two episodes.
Ooh.
So I'm advising, if you haven't seen all of them, the last two episodes, get the Kleenex going, because they're good. I watched all of The Comeback, and I was surprised, because it leans into, an AI world, and what does that mean for us? I don't know that I laughed as much as I would.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched parts of Rooster. This is the new Steve Carell show.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's set in a college. And I think that's where it goes wrong. Do we need to always have somebody be intelligent? How many bad sitcoms do you know that were set in a college? We don't need it. It's not
right.
You know, and is it because they missed that world? That's why they're writing about it. Or was it because they never went to that world? And that's why they're writing about it. I don't know, but I don't think it's the one for Steve Carell. And I think he wants to be seen as something other than Michael on The Office.
Well, and Steve Carell, wasn't he on that other show? It was a
Four
Space
Seasons, the Four Seasons one he was on, which is coming back. So I don't know how good that's going to be. That's Tina Fey could do better. And then he was in another one.
Space Force, right? Was he
something like that?
Yeah, which I think I watched an episode of and was like, I'm moving on. And he was also in the morning show, but obviously that had a an expiration date on that for him. it's been an interesting ride ever since The Office.
You see, he's one who wants to do something different every time out, right?
Right.
Somebody like Reba McEntire wants to just do the same thing. She would like to be Reba. She loved doing the Reba show. If you remember that one, I think it was on the WB or it was those other networks, not NBC, ABC, or CBS. But then she had other things to do, so she did that. And she was very successful on The Voice and then said, you know, I'd like to do a sitcom again. And so she came back with Happy's Place. And what does she do? She hires her best friend, Melissa Peterman, to be her best friend on this one, who was on the last one. So it's an interesting kind of mix. And I'm not faulting her. This is not, she does Reba well. But I don't know that the characters are vastly different that she's playing. So maybe Steve Carell could take a hint from that playbook and say, let's look at that. But I did get a chance to talk to one of her co-stars on Happy's Place, Pablo Castelblanco. And he plays Steve, the accountant. Now, Steve is kind of OCD, and he's got a he's always using, you know, a cleanser so that he doesn't touch any germs, a germaphobe, basically.
Okay.
And
okay.
So it's interesting to see how different he is in real life. But for him, it was a real early kind of shot with this show because he's from Colombia. And at 17, he says to his parents, I want to go to the United States. I want to be in the entertainment business. And you go, wouldn't you go if your kid said that? No, we're not. You'd say no. But they went along with it. And he went to college in the United States and then happened to get work. And so it panned out. But anyway, here's the interview with Pablo, and I think you'll enjoy. Hey, Pablo, it's so good to see you. I've always wondered, are you good with numbers or not?
Well, both my parents are accountants, so it's really funny that I got an accountant role, but I'm not very good with numbers. I mean, I'm good with numbers that are normal, but like I wouldn't be able to do a tax accounting for anybody.
Do your taxes and everything, and then you won't be worried about it, right?
Yeah, someone else. Yeah, they'll help me with that. They always wanted me to, you know, get into some sort of like engineering or anything like that. And no, I just wanted to do the arts. But in a way, I kind of made the dreams come true, just on TV.
Okay, but how in the world do they let you come to the United States when you're 17? I would be, no, that's not happening. Yeah. And how do they
do that? I was driven to do acting since I was little. Like I started doing school plays and always wanted to take acting classes over the weekends and stuff. So they just kind of, they knew it was not a possibility of me doing something else. I mean, they did ask. It wasn't that they were not just kind of laying out the world for me, but they just kind of knew how driven I was to do it. And, you know, they were kind enough to just kind of support me in the fact that if I wanted to do it at this level and it paid off, and I'm so grateful that I had to come to the States to, you know, to learn here. And I came for college first, but that I had to like move here and just make my world here.
Did you have this kind of come to Jesus meeting where you come to them and you say, I have a little something I want to tell you. I'm going to be moving. I'm going to do. And were they okay with it? Or were you nervous?
I think I was nervous that they would say no. I'm glad they never said no. And it wasn't a come to Jesus, but it was kind of like, you know, when you're kind of reaching your senior year and you really are trying to make up plans, then I started being like, well, I would like to do it, but if I'm going to be serious about it, I think they just wanted it to sound serious, you know.
Wait, so it was, they get the show, don't they? Or do you send them the show so they get to see?
Yeah, they get the show. They also have come to see a taping of the show live, so that was great. You know, I was on a series before, Happy's Place, and that one was a single cam, and that's harder for them to come to the set for because it's
Alaska too. It was set in. I'm assuming you went someplace cold.
Yeah, we shot that show in Vancouver, but seeing a single cam being shot is not very fun. I don't think it is, because it's just you got to do the take several times, and then it takes time to flip it around. But them coming to see a multi-cam show was so amazing because it's a live audience. You see the whole episode top to bottom getting filmed in front of you. They had a blast. And I think that's the moment that they were like, oh, okay, we finally get it.
We got to see it happening.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you a germaphobe or not?
I am not a germaphobe. I mean, I do like things to be clean. So I'm always cleaning, but I don't think I'm like a germaphobe like Steve is.
Okay. And then do you sing?
I don't sing. No.
Do you try it around Reba and say, what do you think?
And she's like, not good. She's like, we will pass on that.
There's I'm not like, turning my seat around. No.
And she's like, let's stick to this comedy thing. We're not gonna do the the singing. We have a lot of happy birthdays on Happy's Place. Well, the whole crew, you know, there's always like a birthday every week. And we always sing happy birthday and she leads it and it starts sounding so amazing. And then once everyone joins in, it derails like happy birthdays usually do. I think happy birthdays are the worst song ever because everyone just is always off key. And I think she just knows that none of us have it. Tocala does. That man has a beautiful voice. He will sing. He's a bass and he will sing with his voice amazingly.
Does she ever sing though or not? Is that like she does?
Yeah. We're like, I'm always like, oh my God, where's this angel? And I'm like, oh, it's Reba. She's just singing right there.
Well, because, you know, I've seen her in concert and she'll do like a cappella things where she'll do Sweet Dreams or she'll do Amazing Grace or something like that. And you go, it's the angels. The angels are singing. Yeah. That's where, you know, it's weird.
Yeah, it's like the angels are singing. I'm sure we'll have to have an episode of a karaoke, and then we will have a lot of funny moments for the people that can sing, but then we'll just have a joyful moment when she just sings.
Your character seems like the biggest outlier of the group, that you really, the other ones seem like they've been there for a while.
Yeah.
What kind of, how difficult is that? Is that difficult to be like an outsider or not?
I think he was the last addition. I mean, we haven't really talked about this. So I'm just really talking about how I feel until Isabella came in. So I think he does feel a little bit more ownership that he's like, well, I was here before she was. But it's not. It's not hard. I kind of like to play the fact that of like eyeing people out, just being able to like put things into question. That's fun.
Yeah. Who is the most fun to play with when you're in a scene? Is there somebody that you really click with and you say, oh, great, this will be fun?
I'm going to give you the most boring answer. All of them. I mean, we've defined a character so well that you just know how everybody's going to play it. And I mean that in the best way possible. And you know who you're going to get to ping pong with in a scene. So we're just so lucky that the cast works so well together, that the characters are so well defined. That's just such a joy.
Yeah. And did you feel it right away that it was clicking?
Yeah. I think I felt it right away. The first season, it just kind of kept building and getting better. And now the second season, we have a shorthand. There's a moment in an episode that maybe hasn't aired yet that someone like did a physical action and everyone knew how to pick it up. It was like, here, grab this thing. Oh, well, the person that has OCD wouldn't really deal with that. So then someone else does. And it wasn't scripted. It wasn't scripted, but everyone kind of played on that moment. And I tell you, it happened in rehearsal. No one said, let's try this. It just kind of happened. And it was a chain reaction. And everyone did what their character would do. And it stuck. It stuck because it was such a great moment. And everyone just... It was like a machinery. No one had to say anything. It just all worked great.
When you have the idea that, well, there'll be a third season, possibly a fourth season, a fifth season. Could you see yourself staying with a show that long?
I would love to. I think this is one of the best gigs you could ever have. I think there's still a lot of things to explore. You know, if I saw it and I said there's nothing else to dive into, then maybe you'd start having questions about it. But I can see so many paths of exploring only for Steve. That's only Steve. And then we have six other characters that we can explore in.
Do you talk about, I'd like to direct someday, or I'd like to write an episode of this, or is that like not in the cards yet?
I would like to eventually do either or. I haven't decided which one yet. So I think I just need to decide for myself and then put my cards into what I would like to do.
Oh, you got to make it happen. And then
yeah.
Melissa and Reba have such a history together.
Yes.
Are they like the two girls in school that are just hanging together all the time? Or what is that relationship like?
No, they're just the best people ever. That's, you know, people always ask about their relationship. And my favorite thing is they opened it up to all of us when we started, you know, and that was the best gift because you get to see how they work very well together. But then at the same time, it's not that we were on the outside looking in. We were part of it, you know, and then we got to be and pitch on ideas and see how it works. And I think the magic of why they work so well together is because they're so gracious and open and welcoming to ideas and giving ideas. So if you are operating on that same energy, then you get to be on that conversation.
Did you ever work at a bar or a restaurant?
I worked at a restaurant once.
And
I'm happy I'm working on a TV restaurant right now.
That's funny. Do you ever ask Reba advice?
Yeah. On like a lot of things, you know, when I moved to my new place, I was like, oh my God, I need to get these things. And she was like, oh, well, you better not forget about this when you have the house and this. So life stuff also on a scene, you know, when she and I have scenes together, I'm always like, what do you think about this moment? And she asks me also for ideas sometimes. So I feel like, again, it's that thing that it's a collaboration. And if everyone's just helping each other up, then we all go up together.
Were you familiar with her music before?
I was familiar with Reba's music before since I moved to America.
Right.
I think when I was back home, it's just so difficult because you have all the context of old Latin music and all of this stuff. But when I came here, then I started like, but I knew of the Reba show when I was back home in Colombia because it would air on the Warner Channel. So like I knew Survivor first before I like knew Fancy and all the other stuff because the show aired.
Sure.
Yeah. That's the magic of television.
Someday I will work with her, right?
Yes. And I was always like, someday I will. I don't know. I love being on a show with a strong woman that's the lead, you know, an iconic woman. That's my favorite thing. So I knew I belonged here.
Well, keep it up because you do a great job. You're always the one I love watching. So don't disappoint me, okay?
Okay, I won't now.
All right. Yeah. Sorry to put it on you, but
sorry. Yeah, no, thank you. Well, now I have this threat.
So, yes, it's me. I'm there. I'm coming after you. I'm just like somebody in Scream 8 or whatever, yeah. Right? Hey, thank you so much. Have a great
thank
day.
Thank you, Bruce. It was so lovely talking to you.
Do you love rom-coms? Do you wish you could talk about Christmas movies year-round? Then we have the perfect podcast for you, Hallmarkies Podcast. Throughout the year, we cover all things romance, holiday, and Hallmark, including recaps of every Hallmark show like When Calls the Heart and The Way Home. You can also get loads of bonus content covering shows like Bridgerton, Sweet Magnolias, and Just Like That. We are an all-female group of friends who are passionate for these shows and movies and give our honest opinions as well as gush over what we love so much. But that's not all. Every Monday, there are interviews with all your favorite actors, writers, directors, and more. Check out Hallmarkies Podcast on all your podcast providers and on YouTube. That's Hallmarkies Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thanks, Bruce, for that interview. You know, I don't think I watched any episodes of Happy's Place. I know I've seen plenty of commercials
You've been busy on Friday nights. That's why.
Yeah, I am. It kind of reminds me of like this is just a new attempt at Cheers to a degree, right?
It should wish to be Cheers, but.
Right, which is part of the reason why I probably haven't watched it either, because once you've done Cheers, you can't do it again.
It's one of those shows that, you know, works with a certain, now here I'm not dissing people because they're my age probably, but an older audience that just loves that because there's a familiarity about the characters, about the situation, sure. And they like that. It feels comfortable, especially after a tough week. You come home and it's kind of like the meat and potatoes of
the evening. You feel good afterwards, and you don't have to think too much. Did that sound bad? I hope not.
No, no. I think there's certain programming where it doesn't necessarily have to be, again, like, as I said, I haven't seen the show, so I can't say it's good, it's bad,
no,
whatever. Sometimes you can get a show which, yeah, it's not the best show ever, but it's that familiar, you know the characters, right? Yeah. It's just, it's comfortable, right? It's like a good pair of slippers.
Right. Well, and today there are so many mockumentaries on TV that you think, does everybody have to look to the camera and then make some face? And this isn't. This is like old school three camera setup, you know, where they do whatever and they move the camera around. So I take a chance, see what it's like, see if you like it. I think it works.
Yeah. What else have you been watching?
Well, there are a lot of new movies starting to come. So that's been part of the gig. The Jury Duty people are going to be back. Maybe they're back already. My timeline is not the same as your timeline. And this one is a corporate retreat. So they're going on. And I think that's easier to dupe somebody, because if you're new to the company and then you go to this retreat, you don't know who any of these goons are. So it could be. Interestingly, I went to a corporate retreat for Lee Enterprises.
Oh,
years ago at the Lee Lodge. We used to have it was kind of like a recreational camp like thing with cabins and a big swimming pool and all that.
Mm.
And then you met these people from other newspapers and you would talk with them about, you know, where are they and what are they doing? Fascinating. It was fast. I loved it. Even though I don't like outdoors. I'm not an outdoors person. And, you know, they go, oh, we pay you in the beautiful landscapes. And no, I really don't want that. I'm not interested in all the beauty or the idea that I could go hunting and fishing. Thank you. Pass.
Yeah. You know, I miss the whole Lee Lodge thing.
You were not around. I did that?
No, you and I did meet one time. I don't know if you recall this or not, but it was at Chicago. Yeah, it was at the hotel in the airport at O'Hare.
I never got out of the airport, basically.
Oh, so you would have just flown in and then flown out again, right?
Yeah. Was I nice to you or not?
You were very nice. We didn't speak much, but it was lots of pleasantries. So I liked you from the moment.
Oh God, look at that guy. I would never talk to him. Do not let me near him. I'll kill him.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I think back to that time and man, there's probably a lot of people that were there that aren't here anymore. Cause it's just, it's like no matter where you work, there's always turnover. And that was so many years ago, pre-COVID. But yeah, I did not get the Lee Lodge. I got the airport Ramada or whatever it was.
It was a nice hotel. I liked the hotel.
It was.
How am I getting downtown Chicago? I never did.
Yeah. No, it's so hard because you're kind of like Chicago is very spread out as a city. And O'Hare is like not anywhere near downtown. I had an interesting room too. And it was like basically looking out over the runway. So I could see planes departing and it was kind of cool. It was not as noisy as I thought it was going to be. I expected it to be like, man, I'm going to be hearing jet engines firing up at 5 a.m., but it was fine. It was
Area at the executive suite. Little did we know.
Exactly. There's a couple things I'm looking forward
to. Okay, what's up?
So next week, April 6th, we have the return of Star Wars. Not the big movie. Not the whole Mandalorian.
Grogu and the Mandalorian.
Yeah, not that. We have another cartoon. And I'm telling you, some of the best stuff that's come out in the last 15, 20 years from Star Wars, it's basically their animation department.
Because they don't pay attention to it, that's why.
Right. Star Wars Maul, Shadow Lord. This kind of is another spinoff of their very popular, highly acclaimed series, The Clone Wars. And they did the Bad Batch also, if you remember that cartoon.
Yep.
This is kind of like after, I guess, the Clone Wars, but before the original movies came out, kind of in that gap in between the timeline. And it follows the very popular character Darth Maul, who was sliced in half in The Phantom Menace, but survived in the cartoons. Good. So very popular. Looking forward to that. The trailer is pretty intense. So I'm hoping for some good things here. It's like Star Wars has really been up and down the last few years. You know, you'll get kind of these sketchy shows, but then you'll get something good, and you're just teased back and forth.
Who's the voice? Is it the voice by from the original or not? Do you know?
I can't remember. It's not. I don't think the actor that did the voice in the cartoons is the same as the movie.
Okay. Well, then when he gets put back together, does that mean he's nice?
No, he's a little angry because he lost his legs. So
lice and dice.
Okay. Yeah. But again, this is Dave Filoni was pretty much the showrunner on those Clone Wars series, and that's he's risen from there to basically running the whole side of Star Wars now, the whole Lucasfilm stuff. So hopefully this will be good. And then the other thing that's coming out next week too is a return of The Handmaid's Tale in the spinoff in with the Testaments. Yeah. And I have you gotten any screeners on that yet? Or?
No, I have not seen them, but I'm getting them.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens. And I think there are interviews involved too. So we might be talking Testaments when the time comes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So my understanding is the only actor coming back from the originals, Aunt Dowd, right? Aunt Lydia?
There could be some other stray characters that you'll see.
Yeah.
But she's the biggest.
Okay, and then my understanding also, because this takes place about 15 years after The Handmaid's Tale, and I believe it follows the daughter, right? Like the daughter of June, who had her daughter stripped away from her in at the beginning of The Handmaid's Tale. My understanding is she's kind of like an adult at this point, still living in Gilead, and it kind of follows her. So that's the connection, or at least from what I understand. It's based on the novel. I never read the first book, and I didn't read the Testament. So I'm just kind of like going off Wikipedia.
You're winging it. Yeah.
Let me Google Wikipedia and see what comes up.
See what it says.
Exactly.
The series is entirely different than the books.
Yeah. I'm hoping I really liked Handmaid's Tale the first season or two. I never stopped watching it, but it felt like those last 2 to 3 seasons, it was just like wrap this.
It was dragging on.
Yes. Yes. So I'm hoping that they go into this and have like a structure, right? You know, some start, a finish, a good arc, and we just get in and out and be done with it. Because I appreciate it when good TV shows can last a while, because nobody wants to see a good TV show go, right?
Right.
But certain shows just need to not go on forever. And maybe it's just my attention span in this world of limited series, but I, you know, like The Pit is a show, which I could see that one. Give me 15 years of The Pit. I don't care about that. But like The Handmaid's Tale, man, that needs to be short.
The Pit, too, characters could come and go. They could leave. And like somebody would retire, and then there'd be another one to take their place. And then you'd still have some of those old characters hanging around. Yeah. So that'd be good. So I'd welcome that.
Yeah, but I mean, Noah Wiley doesn't have to be on every season. I mean, at some point, he might fly off into the distance. Right. That's fine. Yeah.
And then just when you think he's out, they pull him back in.
That's right. I mean, like Grey's Anatomy is still going, right? And that doesn't even have Meredith Grey really anymore. So
do you watch it?
No, I never really got into it. My wife used to watch it religiously, but yeah, I've seen it. I know the characters, but I never really hung into it that deep.
I started and then kind of waned.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like heated rivalry now where people are so rabid about that. And you go, really? This seems very familiar, this show. And You know, it too could have its day and then disappear.
Yeah, there you go. Well, on that note, we've given you all a lot to watch here. I mean, a lot of shows. There's some movies coming back. Some interesting things on the horizon. So a lot to talk about. Dune 3. Well, maybe young Timothy Chalamet can finally win an Oscar.
Not for that, though. Not for that. Yeah. And can I just say one more thing about Timothy Chalamet?
Sure.
I feel sorry for him because they were looking for a whipping boy and they just grabbed him because it looked like he had too much. I hate that in Hollywood where if they think somebody is too much of a winner, that they're going to beat him up. And I don't think what he said was all that terrible.
Right.
But for suddenly to be shunned or to be seen as a wick, and it's not fair to Michael B. Jordan, I know I've said this before, that he suddenly is the beneficiary of them not liking Timothy Sheldon. No, according to those voters, he was better. So yep. let it go and move on from there. And let's close the book on Timothy being a jerk to everybody and see what happens. So anyway.
All right. Well, on that note, thanks again for listening. And we'll be back again with another episode. Streamed and Screened.
Hey, I'm Josh Spiegel, host of the podcast Lunatic in the Newsroom. If you enjoy journalism that drifts into mild panic, wild overthinking, and a guaranteed nervous breakdown, Lunatic in the Newsroom is for you. It's news like you've never heard before. The only newsroom with a panic button. You'll laugh, you'll cry, and gasp in horror as the show spirals completely out of control. It's not just news, it's emotionally unstable. Lunatic in the Newsroom. Listen today.